Good morning. This is Daniel Garber at the movies every Friday morning for culturalmining.com and Take 5 CIUT 89.5 FM. I was recently in the States for American Thanksgiving, and at an American chain bookstore, I noticed a whole section, not just a table, not just a shelf, a whole section devoted to paranormal teenage romances. Well, I've seen that ultimate teenage paranormal romantic vampire trilogy, and I gotta say, they were awful. I couldn't find the appeal in any of them, but different people like different things. I guess it's a matter of taste. You might like things that blow up, crashing cars, scary monsters, blood and guts, fist fights. Yeah, me too. That's why I'm calling this week's reviews Super Macho Friday, to talk about some uber alpha testosterone laden action packed movies. Yeah, we're going to see three rough and tough movies about cutthroat competition, nerves of steel, Iron Man endurance. One's a romantic comedy, one's a film about ballet dancing, and one's a documentary on exquisite French sweeties. Okay, I lied. They're not all that stereotypically masculine as movies go, but keep listening. Some of them are well worth watching. First, Love and Other Drugs, directed by Edward Zwick. Jamie, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, is a retail salesman in the mid-1990s whose aim is to get laid on the job as often as possible. But he gets fired for hitting on the boss's girlfriend. He's young, handsome, ambitious, and out of work. Meanwhile, his slovenly, obnoxious, unattractive little brother, Josh, who has just made a fortune in the dot-com bubble, offers to set him up with a sales job at a global pharmaceutical giant. If his sales reach a certain target, he'll get to move away from the backwater he's placed in to the big time, Chicago. So he trains hard, works hard, and learns the trade while also sticking to his hobby. Is he trying to pick up women in order to up his sales, or is he working as a traveling salesman to sleep with the metaphorical farmer's daughters? Who knows? Either way, he's being trounced by a more successful rival salesman, an ex-Marine peddling Prozac. But after bribing a doctor to let him dress as an intern, he encounters a beautiful woman, Maggie, played by Anne Hathaway, a barista and artist with early onset Parkinson's. Sounds interesting so far. It is, sort of. After that, unfortunately, the rest of the movie is just about them jumping in and out of bed and whether their casual sex will develop into a loving relationship. Granted, there's a lot of gratuitous shots of two movie stars running around scantily dressed, but the movie itself was pointless and boring. Will Maggie and Jamie stay together? Will he get his transfer to Chicago? Will she continue to make coffee and snap photos and buy medications? Who cares? You get the impression even they don't really care. And when the movie tries to be funny, it usually fails miserably, like the lame scene about Viagra-induced priapism and a three-way with a model-like saleswoman in a hot tub. She's Thai, and I'm Thai curious. It doesn't even really deal with the big problems of big pharmaceuticals, aside from the industry's high prices and competitiveness. Instead, it was more of a nonstop product placement for the drugs themselves. They even have a scene where a life is turned around when a depressed homeless guy starts garbage picking Prozac samples. Oliver Platt and Hank Azaria are great as trainer and doctor, but other than that, unless you really love Jake Gyllenhaal and Anne Hathaway, or have a thing for awful 90s music like the Macarena, this is a stupid, pointless romantic movie that goes nowhere. Next is Black Swan, directed by Darren Aronofsky. I reviewed this during the Toronto Film Festival and it stayed with me. It's a haunting, moving film. Nina, played by Natalie Portman, is a ballerina, pure of heart, who wants the lead role in Swan Lake. She's been raised to reach perfection, en pointe, by a relentless stage mother who was also in the ballet but never made it big. Nina doesn't drink or smoke or have sex. She still lives at home. She's bulimic, plays with stuffed animals, wears a fuzzy pink coat, and listens to her little music box with a dancing ballerina by her bed. But the ballet director, played by Vincent Cassel, wants to put new life into that cliched old ballet. He pushes her to also play the role of the Black Swan, the sinister evil twin of the Swan Queen. For this, he wants her to abandon her remaining childhood and purities and to become angry, passionate, and sexual. He's exploitative and cruel. Meanwhile, Beth, the former diva at the ballet, played by Winona Ryder, is forced to retire, and a new competitor, Lily, played by Mila Kunis, is also trying for the role and trying everything she can to take it away from Nina. Sophisticated Lily is Nina's opposite, Sex, drugs, smoking, and backstabbing all come as second nature to her. Nina has to hold on both to her role in the ballet and to her tenuous grip on reality. The big question is, does Aronofsky's latest venture work or not? I have to admit at times this movie drifted into high camp and felt like nothing more than a remake of Paul Verhoeven's Showgirls, another movie about backstabbing dancers. That said, it's a totally watchable classic melodrama and psychological thriller with great acting by the two main women, plus very enjoyable overacting by Winona Ryder as the former prima donna and Barbara Hershey as the over-the-top stage mom. This movie's also stunning on the eyes and ears with amazing production values. I think Aronofsky knows exactly what he's doing here, neatly alternating three styles. The super real documentary-like footage, just like in The Wrestler, behind the scenes, bone cracking, massages, rehearsals, warm ups, and makeups, with the scenery chewing catfights of the melodramatic soap opera, and the surreal drug induced psychological fantasies, like in his great Requiem for a Dream. For me, he gets the balance perfect. Finally, Kings of Pastry, directed by Chris Hegedus and D.A. Pennebaker. The title says it all. This is about the cutthroat competition to be accepted as a meilleur ouvrier de France and allowed to wear the coveted red, white, and blue collar. The movie follows the competitors from Europe and North America as they go from stage to stage, constructing elaborate spun sugar sculptures, designing multi-layered chocolate truffles, obscure pastries, and impossibly complex cakes. It's like a reality show or Iron Chef, except it's not a TV show competition. It's the real thing. They all compete with an Olympic-like ethos to create these monuments of grotesquerie. Part of the competition is to take these huge, delicate, and breakable constructions, lift them up using their own hands, and carry them all the way to the table where the judges do their judging. And even though this is an unscripted documentary, you just know it. One of the chefs is going to stumble. When I was a kid, they did this learning number sequence on Sesame Street. Some of you might remember this. And one film clip that they always show, in each sequence, there would be this guy at the top of the staircase in a white chef's toque announcing, 7 pumpkin pies, and then he'd fall down and drop them all. Anyway, I don't get it. I'm not a sweet tooth, so I don't see why you'd be breaking your back creating hideous spun sugar displays and petit four arrangements. But clearly, some people live for this stuff, and the chefs obviously still value these old school distinctions. I guess you could say they want to be archaic and eat it too. The film starts slowly with the chefs in their home territories practicing spinning flawless sugar ribbons, but once they're at the big competition, it really heats up. This is an excellent documentary and the ultimate dessert film. Just to review, today I talked about Love and Other Drugs, now playing, Black Swan, opening today, check your local listings, and Kings of Pastry, which is playing at the TIFF Lightbox. Go to tiff.net for details. Also starting today is Sellout, a funny and unusual satirical musical comedy about Rafflesia, a reality show host whose ambition comes to the rescue when she finds a new way to attract Malaysian audiences using death as the ultimate draw. This is Daniel Garber reviewing movies each Friday morning on Take 5 CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.